Okay, now we're official. I'm Dr. Judy Campanelli, one of the members of the Board of Directors of Sherman College of Chiropractic. Actually, it's Vice Chairman, and I have the pleasure of being the hostess this evening with our guest, Dr. Bill Moss. Welcome, Bill, to Sherman Connect on this Monday night, January 22nd. 2018.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, it's good to be here.
So we were talking a little bit before I started recording that this is your first time on the Sherman Connect call, and that's really exciting for us because you have a lot of great information that I think, you know, I kind of feel like you're maybe not a pioneer in your field, but you're doing some great and unique things, powerful things that I think our listening audience is going to really enjoy. They don't even know what they're in for tonight. So
awesome.
Thank you very much for being on the call. I have to admit, Bill, and I'm always completely honest,
yeah.
I saw your topic because they sent us the information about what the guests will be speaking about. And I'm like, broke but not broken.
Yes.
Intriguing. Yes. It makes me think I'm going to hear about some struggles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe. Okay. And I think I don't even know what those struggles are, but, you know, I love when people, our guests here, not just talk about their lives in general, but, you know, we're real people. We need to connect more, you know, a Sherman Connect call. We need to connect more on a real personal level because I think so many people today feel alone. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling like you're gonna be giving us some raw and honest stuff that people are gonna relate to today. Am I off base?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Or am I on base?
You're on base. No, that's
okay,
correct.
Great.
I mean, I think that's one of the things I look for and look to be in my practice and everything I do. So, you know, that's definitely tied into this. One thing I wanted to, I didn't tell you the story before we got on the call because it was I wanted to tell you about it, but I practice in Reading, Pennsylvania, which, you know, it's in Pennsylvania, eastern side. Everyone's celebrating today because the Eagles are obviously going to the Super Bowl,
right?
And you and I are a little saddened by that, being Steelers fans, but living in the county and the area I live in, I had an experience that's kind of related to your current practice, but it was like 3 years ago, I had a tooth a dental implant put in, and I was like laid out on the couch, and I was supposed to go do a lunch talk at a local like power company, I guess. And I just really couldn't do it. It was like 2 days after this thing. It was a huge group of people. And my wife and my CA went and they did it. They did it instead. And they recruited this gentleman, and he comes into the practice for his first visit. And he's like, it was my retirement luncheon, and now I'm joining your practice. And on his second visit, he sits down and he's like, hey, do you know a guy who like speaks in chiropractic? He writes, his name is Joe. And I'm checking him and I'm like, I'm not really sure. You know, I wasn't quick to like figure it out. He's like, yeah, he's like my neighbor. And he comes back. He's like, I can't remember his last name. He comes back the next visit. He goes, oh, his name is Joe Strauss. My neighbor is Joe Strauss. And I'm like, your neighbor's Joe Strauss? I'm like, I have all his books, like, downstairs in my office. Are you serious? He's like, yeah, he's my neighbor. We, like, live right next to each other. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. He goes, yeah, I think I'm going to bring him to that class you're having in a night or two that I'm coming to. And I'm like, are you serious? You're going to bring Joe Strauss to my orientation? And I'm like,
I love it.
Talk about feeling uncomfortable.
Pressure.
He actually didn't. He ended up bringing his wife to that. But he did bring him to my office then to just when he was getting checked for a regular visit, and he came and saw my practice, and he brought me a book, No Man's Land, and had signed the copy and like gave me his number and everything. And I thought it was hilarious. I had no idea he was actually living in this county. And there's so many great chiropractic resources here, the person I get checked by most often is John Sidney Williams, right? Dr. Sid Stein. He's in Morgantown. He's in Morgantown, Pennsylvania as well. So it's kind of like a hidden gem in the chiropractic world. And it's been pretty cool. But you know, one I just want to give a shout out to Don Rockledge too. He's been celebrating all through the night.
I know. Did you see him check and swoop? I saw on his Facebook page he's checked the Eagles mascot, which was pretty cool. And he was out live, Facebook and live last night with people setting off fireworks. I'm like, oh gosh, Don, don't get yourself killed. We need you in chiropractic.
I know. Seriously.
But things went pretty well last night in Philly, so.
Yeah, and Don's like an integral part to my chiropractic story, actually.
Is he?
He was my –
Well,
yeah,
you know what, Bill?
My...
I want to – Bill, let's do this because I don't know how many people on the call are familiar with you, and we'll get to your stuff. But why don't you give us a little, like, you know, how'd you end up in chiropractic? Like, let's start the beginning kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting thing. Like, I mean, I know people say the cliche, like, oh, I was born to be in chiropractic. But I have some, like, really interesting things that I remember growing up. Like, my family's from Pittsburgh, and I remember my uncle at, like, the age of 7 talking about how he was taking his kids to a chiropractor. And on the drive home, I was, like, 7 years old. I remember my parents being like, that's crazy. Uncle Dan is taking his kids to a quack. And I remember them saying it like clear as day. I'm like 7 years old sitting in the back seat of the car. And I'm just like, who the hell knows why that's staying with me. But it did. And I remember just growing up seeing the signs and thinking, like hearing that perpetual myth of people talking like there's a chiropractor everywhere. You know, my parents said shit like that, excuse me. And they'd say that. And I remember feeling
that
and seeing that. And, you know, I got my chiropractic story kind of started when I was 7. I was with a sitter and I was with my sister and I was crossing the street pretty close to where my practice is now. And I was struck by a car. And, I broke the mirror off. I had a concussion. I went to the hospital that night. What a nightmare of a phone call to get from your
I bet. You know, your parents.
For my parents. But my health, like, totally changed kind of overnight. I started becoming the kid who had allergies. I had asthma. I developed asthma that summer. I missed multiple days of school. And I was just like that kid who got everything growing up, like allergies, asthma, hay fever, all the stuff, missed like 10 to 15 days of school on average in elementary. And I was just like a sick kid. Like I even remember some of my friends like kind of picking fun. But I was athletic. I was a competitive runner. And that kind of got in the way of things, right? Mm-hmm. Tougher to breathe, tougher to compete. And when I was in high school, I had come back from a European trip and I was just – I woke up and I could not even move. And my mother was like, well, here we go. She was an rad tech, an x-ray technician. And she's like, we can take you to the hospital and they're going to pump you full of drugs. Or like, let's try this chiropractic thing that I heard was like a quack thing. And let's give it a try. And she took me and I got adjusted. And I remember after getting my first adjustment, I was like, I went from immobile mom helping me to the office to being like euphoric and like, what the heck just happened? And I was super impressed with the way I just experienced the world after that. But chiropractic remained a treatment for just my aches and pains and stuff like that. And It continued when I went to college. I ran cross country, and that's what I utilized it for. Not real big, like, aha moments, like people talk about or we see in our office. But then right before I was going to student teach, I was a special education major. I ended up being a high school special education teacher prior to being a chiropractor. Right before student teaching, I started having spin out of control, debilitating anxiety attacks and panic attacks that were, I could not do anything that elevated my heart rate. I couldn't run. I couldn't drink coffee. I couldn't even like put myself in situations that created stress or I'd just start to spin all out of control. And when that happens and you're 22 years old, they start sending you to every doctor they can because my symptoms, my heart rate, my blood pressure, dizziness, everything was so heightened and they tested me for everything and it all came back normal. But all the while I was actually driving across the state to get those testing, I would go see the gentleman who was my first chiropractor. And on the days I got adjusted, my body seemed to just relax, like take a breath of fresh air and calm down. And I was like, this is kind of different. But I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand why I was experiencing that. And I basically did the whole medical route for a year with Zoloft and Lorazepam and these antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, and it managed it to a point. You know, I'm sure a lot of us who work with people who've experienced these issues, it's like it manages it. It keeps it at bay, and that's how I felt. But I was teaching in Chester County at Unionville High School, and I was a high school emotional support teacher, which just comes back to the story a little bit. And I met this chiropractor, and I met him just because I got a referral, and he taught me what chiropractic was. He taught me that about how I was experiencing that in my physical body, and that he felt he could really do great things with me. And over the next 6 months, I did a very regular regimen of chiropractic care, and at the end of that, I was just like, I didn't have breathing issues. I wasn't getting sick. I didn't have any anxiety. I was off my medication, and I was like, this is incredible. Because all the meanwhile, I'm working with students that were very much like myself. It was a very white-collar school district that their problems in emotional support are like, am I going to get into an Ivy League school? I'm taking my parents' pharmaceutical medications and self-medicating. I'm like not keeping up with the pressures of being special, right? That's the type of school I was in. And I'm like, I'm sitting in meetings with these parents passing around these kids in a manner that's very incongruent for what I'm experiencing. And I just so happened to have a great chiropractor, Dr. Thomas Bianco. He's in Chad's Ford. And he was like, hey, have you ever like considered doing this for a living? And I'm like, not really.
That's no. The question right there. Bam.
Right. Like that's the question. I'm like, I don't really know. Not really. And I go home and I'm like, kind of researching, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but the first time I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to chiropractic school, I was just like, it's probably like other schools and they're everywhere, right? That's not the truth at all.
And they're everywhere.
Right. You know, like I just thought I would.
No, there are 16, honey.
Right. I'm going to teach. I'm going to like continue teaching. I'm going to like figure it out. This is going to be like my side thing. And that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's like,
no.
Regardless of if there was one really close to you, you should go to Life University. And he suggested that. So I came home like for dinner, and my wife and I are sitting at the table, and I'm like, oh, my chiropractor said I'd be a good chiropractor. And she's like, that's cool. And then I bring it up like 2 days later, and she's like, stops me, and she's like, wait, you're talking to me like I'm your dad. Like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, actually, I really want to do it. So then we basically like planned, and over the next year and a half, I took some classes on the school's dime because I could take some credit, and that was kind of nice. So I could get a lot of the prereqs out before I got to Life University. And, you know, basically in a year and a half, we transitioned down there. And that's where I began my journey into school. So that was kind of, I don't feel like people have that kind of story into chiropractic school anymore. Many people get into different ways, but I was like excited to tell everybody. And then everybody, I show up and it's like, you have, I've never been adjusted before, and there's all these therapies. Like, my experience was not even close to that. Like, the chiropractors I went to were Gonstead chiropractors. When I knew I was going to school over the next year and a half, I read Lasting Purpose. I read Chicken Soup for the Chiropractic Soul. I read the Gonstead case notes, and he even gave me Palmer's Law of Life and was like, hey, give this one a shot.
Wow, good for you.
Right. It was incredible. It was incredible. So when I showed up to school, I was just like, had my chiropractic flag up, and all I knew was like what we want people to really know and understand about the profession.
Right.
So it never even, like, I didn't have to like filter through the BS of like, oh, I came from all this stuff and I'm going to bring it into my office. I was like, well, that was really profound on its own, and I loved the purity of it. That I started to find organizations and groups that delivered that. And, you know, Dynamic Essential was one of them. And that helped really shape my knowledge and understanding within the philosophy. I was just like hunting green books because I was like, well, I kind of read that. It was weird, but I know it's like the real chiropractic books. I had enough sense mm-hmm. of that when I got there. And so I just sought out those sorts of things. Andy Ferrelli was my first upper cervical teacher. Yeah, I mean, I got adjusted by him, and I got curious.
This is amazing. So, it sounds like, I know you got hit by a car and,
right.
you know, were experiencing negative health and stuff, but in terms of your chiropractic path, it's very positive. It's very good.
Totally.
It seemed like you, like, boom, you know, when you found it, you found it, and things are sounding great. So I'm beginning to wonder, like, why is your topic broke but not broken?
Like, that's great. Well, I mean, it's broke but not broken because I think in many ways, like, it was easy to that point, right? It was easy. Like, it was this seamlessly thing that felt like I was very guided and there was a hand on me through all of it. And I was like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And even, like, coming into the upper cervical world, like, I remember seeing a massage therapist just in high school or when I was teaching as a runner. And she was like, you don't go to one of those chiropractors that only adjusts, like, one bone, do you? And I was like, no, that's weird. What is that? And I brought it to, like, Don Rock. Like, I was shadowing Don Rockledge, and I said to him this, I was like, have you ever heard of that? One bone. And he's like, listen, man. He straightened me out really quick. He was like, listen, man, those guys get, like, killer results. Don't knock it. When you get to school, like, you should check it out. And it's funny because I just adopted someone else's paradigm in that moment that didn't know anything, and that was actually my future. So I, like, resisted what actually ended up showing up. But it didn't get really, like, chiropractic didn't get difficult for me until, like, towards the end of school. And I think chiropractic gets difficult for lots of people when they're, like, they have smoke blown up their rear end, that everything's going to be, like, glitter, fairy dust, and everyone's going to, like, kind of accept you, and you're going to tell them the story, and it's going to be wonderful. And I was told by all these people how good I'm going to be in this profession, and I'm like, okay. But I didn't know what, like, at the end, I didn't know what I was going to do. I ended up staying in Georgia, but I had, like, a lot of, like, questions. And in my first year of practice, so I remember getting to the end, like, the last 2 months, and you're like, what am I going to do? My wife's like, I'm staying to finish my PhD for another year. Can we stay? I'm like, I guess so. I don't really have this plan figured out. Everyone's just, like, telling me you're going to be a great chiropractor. It's in your background. It's going to work out. And what I did was I decided I had the opportunity, Dr. Daniel Tu, if you know who he is, he's a dynamic essential doctor, really great guy. And he was like, hey, I'm renting a space in my office. So how about you, like, do you need some room? And I'm like, okay, this sounds okay. So basically I'm like going to rent a room. I don't know anything. And the biggest fork in the road I had was I basically decided I was going to do upper cervical 3 weeks before I graduated school. Right. Mm-hmm. So I made this thing even more difficult on myself right towards the end, because when I got into my peak experience in my clinical practice and I saw what was happening for these people, I had always been curious about the power of upper cervical. And I had always heard the stories from the stage, and yes, people can, you know, fluff these up and make them sound great, but I was always curious, and I received my first upper cervical adjustment by Andy Ferrelli, and I was even more curious. I know some people are like, whoa, that guy's like a hammer, but for me, it was like, holy cow, what just happened? So all school, I'm curious, and I just started to dabble right at the end. I started messing around a little bit with it, kind of checking it out, and when I was in my peak experience, I had an opportunity. My doctor who I was working with, he had a patient that just wasn't responding. And what happened was he gave me the responsibility to work with this patient and use the knee, chest, upper cervical adjustment on that. And when I say use the knee, chest, upper cervical adjustment, this kind of plays a part. I adjust the patient, and with no, like, pattern work, none of the things I do now. And she kind of got up. They didn't have a resting area. She rested on the bed, and then she headed off, went home. About 10 minutes after she gets home, she calls, and she's like, I'm feeling woozy. I'm feeling a little dizzy. And they basically just, like, hand me the phone, right? I'm in my PJ
pants. Oh, no.
Here you go, right? But they gave me the freedom to do it, and they just gave it to me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, we didn't really rest you that long. And I'm freaking out, right? I'm like a 13th quarter student. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I hurt this person. Something's
right.
Gone. Well, then she calls back, like, at the end of the night. We're doing the orientation, and she says, oh, my gosh, this is, like, the most amazing night of my life. I don't have any more headaches. My body feels better. I've never felt this clear. And I'm like, thank goodness, right? But 2 weeks later, things were close according to my protocols, and I decided to adjust her when I really shouldn't have adjusted her. And she had a bad reaction, and she was super upset, and her jaw was hurting, and she had this, like, response. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember that feeling because I was given the responsibility. The doctor let me do it. I made the decision, and I kind of got thrown under the bus, and I'm like, I'm not no more. And I literally that weekend went and bought a Titron. This was 3 weeks before I graduated. I bought a Titron. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I went out, bought the equipment. I remember there was a tornado,
you.
And I still drove to Alabama to get it the next day. And I was like, well, I'm going into practice, and I'm going to do this work, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And that was kind of the start. So I didn't really start off on the super confident foot, and that's kind of what leads me to the broke but not broken part of this experience. So,
well,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say two really important things that I heard you say in the last few minutes. One, as a student, you don't know everything. So students that are on the call tonight are going to be listening in the future on the recording. I know that a lot of times you think you know everything, and I just am repeating this not because of you specifically, Bill, but I got to say, I felt the same way when I was in school. I really thought, like, I mean, I get that other students might not get it all, but I had it. I had good mentors. I had, you know, been to other seminars. I was really seeking out information. I felt like, you know, I had it.
Yeah.
But you just don't. And it's okay. And, you know, even after 25 years in practice now, like, I feel like I don't always have it, you know, because we're imperfect people in an imperfect world. And everybody that comes in to see you is different. Even the same person on another visit is a different person, you know?
Yeah.
So
it
can be challenging, and it's okay. The trick is the second point that you made, that if you're going to do this thing, chiropractic, then it behooves you, it behooves the practice member, and it behooves the world, really, to do it right.
Totally.
To do it right. To take the time, the energy, whatever it takes, to not just haphazardly introduce forces into people's spine. So that's, I mean, really, really huge. And for me, that kind of takes me to an excellent place to just do a Sherman commercial, if you're okay with that. Bill, you can get a drink of water. And I will just tell people that that I feel like we at Sherman College do an amazing job, even though students have a lot to learn still. We do an amazing job at Sherman College of preparing students to be successful. And in so many ways, our team building, our technique department, our unbelievable, one-of-a-kind, really, business strategies that are being presented down at Sherman College these days, our research department, you know, we got Christopher Kent down there, and we just got so much that we offer students that it truly is the best case scenario, if you want to be a chiropractor, you've got to be sending, if you want to be a chiropractor, or if you know somebody that, that wants to be a chiropractor, I really feel like Sherman College is the place to be. There are just so many, and right now it's as good a time as any. We're growing beyond beyond our expectations, really, and have this whole new building construction phase that's going on down there. We're putting up this big, beautiful new building that will match not just the curriculum, but the actual experience for students. I mean, for so long, we've kind of been dilly-dallying around in a 70s buildings and structures, and the buildings that are going up and in the future will match the first-class curriculum and experience and philosophy that Sherman College is offering students in 2018. So, if you have students, you yourself happen to be listening to the call, or you have students that you'd like to send to chiropractic school, I would like to encourage you to consider what Sherman College calls the Showcase Sherman Weekend. They're offered once a quarter, and the next one is coming up in February. It's February 9th and 10th. I also have dates in front of me of August 3rd, 4th, and November 2nd and 3rd. But, of course, you can get more information about the Sherman Showcase, the Sherman Showcase Weekend, on the website at sherman.edu. I just want to read, I have a little thing in front of me. The Showcase Sherman Weekend guests will discover why Fast Company, Forbes, CareerCast, and many other organizations repeatedly name chiropractic as a top job, and see what sets Sherman apart as a leader in chiropractic education. There are lots of statistics that say that, you know, becoming a chiropractor is a great idea today, maybe more now than ever. And the Showcase Sherman Weekend will help students, not just from a, you know, what they read in books and magazines and statistics, but show them like what sets Sherman apart. It's a 2-day event for both prospective students and college advisors, if college advisors are interested in being able to better share with the students at their schools. The weekend's designed to ignite a passion for leadership as well as help students begin their pursuit of an exciting career in chiropractic. They'll visit the campus, obviously, and get taken around. I think they get to sit in on some classes, maybe a philosophy class, I think it is, and they tour the growth anatomy lab, which, you know, is always high on everybody's list. But they also get to do a session with Dr. Cordero, our president down there, who's amazing. And they do different leadership experiences. They have a ropes course, and they get into a palpation class, and just really, and they get to see Spartanburg too. But they get to really feel what it's like to be on Sherman's campus. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know, they studied all the schools and looked in all the books and read all the statistics, but once you step foot on Sherman's campus, there's just something magical that happens. It's not just words that we throw around there that we're a family. It really is. You know, I'm not a Sherman grad. I graduated from Pennsylvania College, and so I'm kind of an adopted Sherman alum. But the magic is for real. So if you have someone that you think, you know, have you ever considered being a chiropractor, like like Dr. Moss said earlier, the Sherman Showcase Weekend might be an excellent opportunity for yourself or for people that you think might be interested. So I hope you'll look into that. Okay. So that's my commercial for Sherman College, and I'm happy to do it because I love Sherman College. So, and that takes us to the second half of your path here, your chiropractic path, Bill. So, here you are.
Yeah, and you know,
I'm going to do it right. You're going to do it right.
We're going to do it right. Yeah. And you know, the kind of cool thing about just what you were saying, and you know, Sherman being such a great representative of chiropractic and a great place to, for people to go, is that's all it really took, right? In the first half of that, it really took that guy just like being, I don't know if he was comfortable or not, but he had the courage to say, hey, have you ever considered this? Right. And I think that's kind of like this, mm-hmm. the second piece of this, like the biggest virtue, I think we all get a little bit jaded with when we look at where people are and what they have and what they've done and who they are in any profession or any walk of life, is we see confidence in them, but the piece or that's been strengthened is more or less the courage that it takes, right? Like you said earlier, oh, that, you know, you have some days that just feel off, or you feel like some days you're just killing it in this world, but all the same, like, it's more important to have courage every day to like go after it and screw up, right? When I got out of there, I was like, when I got out toward the end, and I'm like, I'm gonna take this Titron and I'm gonna like start my practice in this way, and I don't exactly really know what I'm doing. I didn't have confidence, and if you saw me, my clients definitely knew I didn't have confidence, because it didn't work out so well. So for like the next 9 months, I was like an independent contractor in somebody else's office. They practiced full spine. I'm practicing a conflicting art. I'm not that good at it. I'm seeking every course I can, every teacher I can to get good in it. And I didn't have confidence, but I had the courage to continue to do that method and learn as much as I could. And when I mean, like, how broke was I in that first year? And I graduated with heavy hitters. Like, I graduated with Michael Viscarelli, Tyler Schwanz, Jessica Harden, who's on the call in a couple of weeks from now, Sam and Claire Stewart. I mean, this was my class. Like, you want to talk about some people doing some big things in chiropractic. Austin Kamarick, Jay Kamarick's son, he was in my class. And all these people are coming out, and, I mean, they're, like, tearing it up from day one. They're, like, seeing all these visits, doing all these great things. And here I am, like, making the split decision to struggle, quote, right? And right. I like, and I collected more in one day than I did in my first 9 months of practice. I mean, that's how like far behind and how unsuccessful I felt in chiropractic. And I was like, I've done so well in so many other things in my life, and this was like my path. How is this going to work out? And up to that point, I didn't seem to have a lot of confidence. I was taking steps in the right direction, and I did an independent contract for about a year and a little bit more, and that's basically what I got out of it, was experience. But that experience now is something that's like really laid the foundation. I think sometimes, this is so true about upper cervicals, like students that just get out and practice it, it takes so much courage, it takes so much confidence, and oftentimes it's really good to have somebody or a team to lean on. And that's exactly what I got in my second like stint go round at this. I basically independent contracted. I passed off my clients to Dan too, and he actually became an upper cervical person, which was wild. It was easy to pass my clients to him. I helped walk him through that. So I guess that worked out for him. But I went and worked with Nick and Ashley.
Worked out for him.
Yeah. It worked out for him. I went to Nick and Adam Tedder's practice, which, I forget, I think Adam Tedder went to Sherman. Nick went to Life. And it was a huge practice. Huge upper cervical, high volume, saw between 500 and 650 visits a week. It was like a crash course in how to like do this stuff. And I mean, I got paid not well. I struggled a lot. I didn't have the greatest experience. It wasn't the most fun thing I've ever done in my life. But when I came away from it, like, I was stepping in and out of that practice, and I was like, I'm moving to Pennsylvania, and I'm letting her rip. And this was, like, the trough. Like, are you going to come out of this? Because I had no money. I took retirement out from of what I had earned teaching. We maxed out pretty much every credit card. We moved back home before my wife even had a position, took a chance on a whim. And all within like a week of getting back, she got hired at Kutztown. But I'll never forget, like, we were like driving to like cash this check in a bank in Maryland because we can't cash it into our new accounts from my retirement because they weren't like set up. And it was like, all right, it's now or never. And I had zero success in chiropractic at this point. So, I mean, I didn't work out as an associate. I didn't do that well in an independent contract. I didn't seem to know what I was doing. But this time I had confidence because I had courage to continue to screw up early. And then I had courage to take the retirement, to put the money on the line for myself. And when we got here, it finally started to turn around. It's like we set it in motion in the universe that this is going to work out. And I had this time I leaned on people who had done this before, like the Michael Viscarellis. I worked with those people to get open and like have that momentum. And I never let go of it. Like day one when we opened this practice, it was you know in the profitable. We were seeing lots of people right away. I mean, we were moving and grooving, and everything previously had set up and said basically no, right? But now it's like people so often look at other chiropractors and what they're doing, and they don't see like the components that operate behind them. I got all that because I was like willing to hire a CA a month before I even opened, and she helped me do a lot of what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, people mm-hmm. don't have the courage to hire the next person to help them out, try to do everything. And we have to make these decisions and these points in this profession that are only going to allow us to move forward when we actually can step away from the box, step out of other people's opinions of ourselves and really do something with it, you know? And that was like the biggest thing since we, you know, stepped out and like trusted all of that prior training, all those prior steps, all the prior vision that was like put into my, you know, my mind at a young age that I could do this was starting to like to come together. But so many people worry about what they're going to do or what they're going to think. And this is so rampant. Like any student that wants to be an upper cervical chiropractor, they probably feel like held back to even, what if I adjust somebody when I shouldn't have? Or what do they think of my scans or my x-rays or my adjustment? And they hold themselves back in fear for what the other chiropractor is going to think about the decision they made. And the hardest part about that is if you never have anybody around to leverage and lean on, it's hard to develop the courage to actually be a chiropractor. Mm. So even within whatever art, if you don't have somebody to lean on, like we talk about like the standing on the shoulders of giants, whenever you're doing something new, it's good to have people to lean on so you don't have to be the one. You can suck on their courage. You can borrow their courage to really make this happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of where we started, like in terms of connecting, how important that is. And don't you find like anytime you've ever tried to reach out to somebody with a question or something, were they good for you, good to you and happy to help or no? Because, I mean, that's been my experience. Anytime I had a thing like want to move into a new place or grow a little bit or, you know, hired my first associates or whatever, I asked people who were doing it already and people were chiropractors were very generous with me and happy to talk or drop me a note or call anytime, they'd say, you know.
Right.
Was that your experience?
I think so in many ways. I think the part that messes students up and even like chiropractors that have been around for a while, when they're simply just looking for justification of the answer that is going to hold them back.
Oh.
You know, you can ask enough people and then not take action. But I mean, there's tons of people that are willing to help you. And I do try to be one of those people to continue to help people because I know that it wasn't easy for me. I remember one of the first times I started doing the x-ray analysis that I do in my office with Dr. Andy Roberts, and he didn't tell me what to, like, I was literally with my own self losing confidence in upper cervical because the way I was getting adjusted, I actually started losing some vision and I was getting adjusted inappropriately and I was getting frustrated. And then I sent him my films and I was like, just tell me how I should be adjusted. And he didn't do that. That's not the way that guy operates.
No, he doesn't do that, does he?
No, that's not the way he operates.
But he helps you find the answer. It wasn't like he just said no.
He walked me through it, and then from now, like, I'll never forget that 45 minutes on my own damn film, and I'll never forget that. And now to this day, I feel like I have such a greater grasp because he was like, he helped me discover it on my own.
Brilliant that way.
Like I opened a practice in Barcelona, which is a whole nother talk and story. But like I have no, do you think I know like all the laws of Spain and stuff? No, but I like just figured them out, took a little information and moved forward to do that, because there's lots of people in this world that have taken chances and made them work out. And in my past, that's what I was doing. So why would we really stop doing now? And that's kind of one of my messages, like, you don't have to be confident as a student. You don't even have to be confident as a chiropractor. You just have to like take steps to have some courage. Like, it takes courage to do this work for years and to tell somebody they need adjusted or they don't need adjusted, to tell them exactly what they need for care, right? And stick to it, not back down, but really tell them your truth. If you think they need lifetime care, tell them, you know, just do it in a way that's courageous. If you think they need a certain amount of visits or what it's going to look like, or they need to get their kid under care, it's courage to step
Absolutely.
Out in the exact same Absolutely. Way that my chiropractor was like, just, hey, man, go to school. And I'm like, what? Go to school? Okay. Turned out to be one of the best, you know, the best decisions really in my life.
So I don't want to speak for you, but I'm guessing that if there are people on the call who need some courage or need some help, or that you would be willing to would welcome their questions and be happy to help them as best you can. I mean, obviously, and you maybe don't have all the answers to everything, but you know, you would be a perfect person for a student who maybe is really relating to the kinds of things you're saying. I'm guessing you welcome people contacting you with their thoughts and questions. Yeah.
For sure.
I see.
Yeah.
I know that they're, you know, it's on Facebook, obviously, that they could certainly connect with you on Facebook. But I also see that your email here is bill@keystonespecific.com. So they can email you there too. Is that the contact that you would like them to use? Yeah.
That's absolutely.
bill@keystonespecific.com. Keystone, like the state of Pennsylvania, the Keystone
That's
state.
That's right.
KeystoneSpecific.com. So I hope that they will feel free to reach out to you with their questions. I think that, you know, there are so many different ways, and I want to ask you a couple of different things, and I see that we don't have all that much time left. I love that you said, you know, it does take courage to tell people that whatever, that they need more care or no care, or, you know, no adjustment. Isn't that a thing that you know, sometimes takes courage, right? Or ongoing care, or that their children need care. And you know what? That's not necessarily something that ever goes away.
No.
And so how do you feel like, you know, are there things that you do even today that help you solidify the understanding that you have about chiropractic, or, you know, what gives you that courage? What helps you along on those days when you're feeling like, oh, this guy's not going to buy this at all, you know? What gives you that courage?
You know, for me, one of the simplest things that, like, gets me in state, like, every day is early. Like, being up early, just the essence of the quiet, helps me like set myself for the day. Like, I have gotten back to, like, there's so much time, right? And we waste half of it. So like I kind of took that challenge, but not like the whole green book challenge that's been going on, but I've kind of been doing it just with chiropractic books. I've been like setting myself a timer in the morning, because, you know, like, I love reading like the Didi, the Simon Senzin, like the history about when they were just like figuring this thing out. Like, imagine what that took, right? I love just getting myself in that, like, they're waking up every day to this thing that doesn't really even have an identity and and an identity. And there's something about like that that really gets me in a state like my life and my job is so much easier. And I love, like, when I have challenges in my life, the one thing I love to do is like write out the worst case scenario and be willing to accept that it's going to happen and lose everything and it's all going to fall apart. And what's the whole worst thing? Get comfortable with it and then move forward. So that scenario for me helps me. And, you know, I said that when I took like all this money and, you know, what am I going to do? I like looking at those people because they were like, well, what am I going to do? We're just trying to figure this thing out. And I think when you get to that place, it just like gets you out of that state of like, I'm really scared. Like you just do it anyway. You're like, whatever, let's just go for it. So that's definitely
right.
One of them.
And I think it's not that you don't have to be afraid because, you know, courage is really like, taking that action step, even though you are afraid, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody's saying you don't have to be afraid. You just have to keep moving forward, right?
I'm the guy who, I remember I was at a place one time, like a seminar, and they were like, all right, take a couple minutes to write down everything that scares you. And like, I'm not the guy to like, be like, huh, what do I write down that scares me? I'm the guy who fills like 3 pages more than anybody, but I'm the first person to throw it out. Like, I'm just the first person to toss it in the trash can and be like, you know, like, well, nothing really scares me. I'm scared all the time. Like, I still take action towards it. I can't imagine how scared these people were. And that's what I love reading about the old chiropractic. I just have such a respect for what it took. I have a respect for what BJ did and how he, like, whittled this all down and, like, had the balls to be like, this is how we should deliver it. I just like that gets me in the essence. And I don't even know if I really realized until this talking about it right now, like how much that like strengthens me and gets me excited. I think the other half to that you just can't simulate until you really get good experience is the things that change because of you stepping up and giving some and delivering care. Like, you know, I think you probably do this at this point in your career. I think this just happened to me, I'd say, in the last year and a half, where no matter what somebody's saying to me, I'm not that phased. Like, I'm ready for it, you know? And that's not something you can do in, like, a 2-week intensive or a training for 6 months. It takes years and repeat and seeing people to the point where you, like, really, no matter what they're telling, no matter how bad it's going to be, you feel ready to take care of that person. And that's something that strengthens me every day. Like, I just went on a real vacation over Christmas, and it was like 10 days, and I haven't had like 10 days of real relaxation for, I don't know, probably since my honeymoon. And we were like, I was like at the end of it, I was like, do I even like what I do? Like, I really started asking like, no, seriously, like, just ask me the question, like, do I even like this? Like, is it really, like, get me that excited? And it took me, like, 3 minutes the first day back to be like, I love this. Like, I love chiropractic. I love taking care of these people. I love the communication. I love the challenge. And I love the stories that come out of it. And I love to inspire the people in my practice and really anybody who's like, looking for some inspiration. So, fantastic.
I got to tell you, I have, you know, even after 25 years, when I explain to people about how our bodies work and how important the spine and the nerve system are, I just, even after 25 years, I'm just so fascinated by that. And it gets me so juiced. I just like, you know, and when people have good experiences and they say, you know, I'm feeling so much better, whatever, and that, you know, they're thanking me, I'm like, no. The magic is in you. You know, it's not like my hands aren't the magic. The magic is in us, and our bodies are so amazing. And people
think, unreal.
You know, it's exciting for me to have people come to the realization that their bodies are amazing. Their bodies haven't failed them. They don't have stupid necks or stupid, you know what I mean? And they get, they're there when they, you know, and it's so amazing to bring them around like that to the, back to the realization of what a miracle life is and that we were meant to be so much better than lots of times we are, you know, And that's chiropractic, you know, that no other health profession is even close to that, you know. It's not even in their vernacular, you know. It's like, so,
no.
Yeah, and
not
even. When you get back to that and you realize that that's what we deal with, you know, that unbelievable magic within another human being, it's so powerful, and it's so humbling, and it's so, like, you know, I couldn't be anything else. Like, it really.
Yeah. I think one of the things it just proves for all of us, and I'll kind of wrap up with this, but it proves for all of us, like, that most people are a lot closer than we give them credit to really heal, right? To really have their like, win in this, right? Because they go down all these paths, and, like, a simple, quote, simple adjustment, like, can turn it all around for them. They're, like, a lot close. There's a lot of people out there who are a lot closer. Same way, like, in success of your practice. A lot of times, you're a lot closer than you really believe. There's just a few little tweaks that really make the difference. But we get so stressed and can't even see the fine-tuning of the little things that are going to make all the difference. And that's what we do every day, is we just fine-tune a little bit, and it makes this, like, magical moment for these people. And that's what I just love of it. Like, I just, that keeps me going each day.
That's awesome. Well, this has been a really great conversation, Bill. I want to remind our listeners that, well, I don't know that anybody's going to be any greater than Bill was this evening, but they're great calls, and we want to mention the people that are upcoming.
Yeah. Yes.
Next week we have Robert Brooks, also an upper cervical chiropractor. Do you know him? Oh, yeah.
I don't know him personally, but I know of him. Yep.
In February, we've got February 5th, we've got David Fletcher. February 12th, we've got John Martin Jr. And February 19th, we have Jessica Harden that you've already mentioned. So four great guests coming up in the next 4 weeks that you won't want to miss.
Awesome.
So before we hang up, Bill, I always like to just ask our guests if, you know, there are people on the call, obviously, but we never know how many people will be listening to this because they're recorded, they're kept and archived, and people lots of times, you know, because they can't get on a Monday night, lots of times get a lot more listeners in the archives than even live. But I always like to close, just give you another couple of minutes to just say, you know, if you had one thing to listen to say to the listeners, whether they're students or practitioners, or lots of times they're not even students or practitioners, all different kinds of people listen to these recordings. Maybe they're CAs, maybe they're family members or whatever. If you had just in a few minutes, just one message that you wanted to share with them, what would that be?
All right. So I've done a lot of work with a gentleman who works for Gallup, and Gallup is like Strength Finder, and strength, and they basically look at companies, and they Strength Finder, and they gather this information. And what they found is, like, really ultimately leveraging your strengths makes you great, and you should never sacrifice that. And we should all spend much more time on doing that. And one of the areas that works really well is, like, in sports, right? We never take a kid who's an amazing soccer player and we're like, we got to take you and turn you into a great baseball player to make you a better soccer player. That doesn't work. Like, immersion in what they're good in really works. And what I think, you know, over the year and understanding, like, the statistics that surround this, because they have so much, is, like, when we operate from a place of strength, we're going to win. And I think the three biggest areas that any chiropractor or chiropractic student, in my opinion, can really fortify and work on to continue to improve is there's three I really feel. The first one is the philosophy. Everybody out there has our philosophy, right? I'm not going to elaborate. Like, the oil companies, the essential oils, the supplements, the personal training, everybody's adopting our paradigm, right? That the body is, like, smarter, that given the right conditions, it can heal. They're adopting it whether we like it or not, so we should really own that. The second thing is, healthcare is losing relationships, right? How many people do we sit down with, and their recollection of their experience with us and everything good is that nobody's really listened the way you do. Or I don't even feel like people talk to me, and they treat me like a number. And we hear all these things, and we typically are really, really good at, you know, communication and compassion compared to other healthcare providers, and we should continue to totally leverage that. And I think the third thing that ties into really the philosophy, the last thing and the final thing, is the connecting piece, where for years it was silly, like, oh, chiropractors, do you think you cure everything? But the missing component of that is that's measurable and tangible and understandable to the public is the fact that the nervous system makes a huge difference. And if functioning properly, your body's going to have a much better opportunity to be its best and much better opportunity to be 100%. If we can really focus and leverage our time and energy into those three areas, I think it's going to continue to like help identify what makes us super special.
Wow, what a great ending to a great interview, Bill. You've been absolutely amazing. I'm so grateful that you agreed to spend your time with us this evening and share with your wisdom with us. It was a great call.
Thank you
very much. I enjoyed speaking with you very much. So with that said, this is Dr. Judy Campanelli, your hostess with Dr. Bill Moss, ending tonight's Sherman Connect call. It's January 22nd, and we are absolutely delighted that you joined us this evening. I hope you had a great time with us and that you'll be back the upcoming week to hear Robert Brooks, David Fletcher, John Murray, and Jessica Harden. Hope everybody has a great night. Are we going to say go Eagles at the end, Bill Moss?
Well, I mean, I don't want that on record, but I'm definitely not rooting for the Patriots.
We hope everybody has a great night. Yep. Thanks again for being with us. Good night.
All right. Thank you, Judy. Yep. Good night.